A seed was planted. If you need income, be true to yourself and follow your instincts. Another seed took root as well. The Riviera was chock full of retired CEOs. As we got to know some of them, I observed that they lived very well, if not extravagantly. I never heard these individuals discuss money, and I never acknowledged or discussed the significant economic gap between them and us. I took great pride in the fact that, though I did not have money, I had other qualities to offer. It seemed to me that talking about money was not a classy thing to do, so I never did. Yet I did not stop yearning for a knowledgeable financial mentor who would somehow discover my hidden interest in financial security and find me worthy to take on as their student. It took an earthquake to wake me out of this dream and begin to take control of my financial life. By 1994, my husband, daughters, and I were living in California. 2 weeks before the Northridge earthquake hit, our insurance agent visited our house to collect signatures for renewing our homeowner's policy and specifically to advise my husband against his earlier decision to decline the renewal of our $400 per year earthquake policy. Since my husband was detained, he called to urge me to sign the papers. When the agent arrived, we sat down and I heard her speaking, but I was so afraid of appearing stupid that I just nodded my head and smiled and zoned out. I didn't ask one question. I just signed the document. After that terrible and destructive earthquake, first we made sure that family and neighbors were safe, and then we handled the minor injuries that a couple of neighbors sustained. I recall being deeply unsettled by the pallor of my husband's face when many of the neighbors, assembled in the dark cul-de-sac that memorable night, were thanking their lucky stars that they had great earthquake insurance coverage. I was able to reach our insurance agent the next morning and ask that a copy of the waiver be faxed to us. When the page came through, I was shocked to see my signature under the clause that canceled the earthquake policy. Our earthquake damage was assessed at $47,000. We had about $45,000 in cash savings. That was the last document I ever signed without paying attention to everything that was in it. It took an earthquake and nearly $50,000 in repair bills for me to realize that my ignorance of money matters could result in acute financial distress. I also realized that there is financial wisdom in the saying that two heads are better than one. For about a year, I chided myself about my idiotic action and finally accepted that I had to move forward. Wanting the responsibility, I oversaw the rebuilding of our home. This was a pivotal period for me. I began to flex barely used muscles. I interviewed contractors, I listened and asked questions, I spoke up and said no when required, I read contracts until I understood them. I found I could overcome the brain freeze that often plagued me in business situations by daring to seem dumb, by asking every little question, sometimes repeatedly, until I had a very clear picture. By looking upon the agent or contractor as my employee, paid by me to teach and inform me at my leisure and discretion, I could put the fear of failing or being out of my depth on the back burner and get on with the business at hand. This period turned out to be a preparatory course for finding Rich Dad, Poor Dad. By the time I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I was ready to take on the responsibility for rebuilding our financial future. Early in our marriage, I was only too happy to hand over financial responsibilities to my husband. He would check off various boxes next to investment options in his 401k plan, and I would glow, feeling so safe and so proud of my man, while remaining completely clueless about the subject matter at hand. I chose not to know. I thrived on being taken care of and was quite comfortable focusing on the spending part of this deal. I am not a lazy person by any means. Many of my peers think of me as a workaholic, but in hindsight, I was mentally quite lazy about finances, and I was fearful of rocking the boat. As my husband's career became increasingly complex and demanding, with increasing business travel and less free time, it became increasingly difficult for us to allocate the time needed to handle our expanding financial needs. Stress has a very interesting way of sometimes bringing out maladaptive behaviors and illogical thinking. Overspending was simply easier in the short run than acquiring the knowledge and the discipline to achieve a balance sheet that would show monthly cash flow.